Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
You might have seen in the news last week that our passengers were stranded after Bonza Airlines folded. Well, why have budget jet airlines struggled in Australia? Let's find out. Ian Douglas is honorary senior lecturer, aviation at the University of New South Wales. Ian, welcome to Drive.
Thanks, Warren.
Bonza was launched, with a lot of media hype, as seems to be the case with these budget airlines, yet here we are with another failure. What went wrong?
Well, we have a bit of a history of this. You can go way back to the 1990s, to the first Compass, and all the way forward, through various failures, normally entrance in the low-cost model because that's the easiest place to enter the airline business. But Australia's a really tough market, and there are three things that you have to have to get traction in the airline business. One of those is market scale. You need a big enough market. And there's a bit of a broad view amongst airline analysts that you really need 40 or 50 million people in a country to have enough scale to support an airline. If you look at North America, the US, there are really just four large carriers now in the US serving over 250 million people, and then a couple of ultra-low-cost carriers there. You go to Western Europe, and the same kind of thing, Ryanair, EasyJet, Wizz, Vueling. That's about the roster of low-cost carriers in a population of 500 million people. And then you come to Australia with a population of 26 or 27 million, and the market is really too small, even though the route Melbourne-Sydney is one of the busiest in the world. The total market across the entire continent is really a bit small to support arguably even the two carriers in Qantas and Virgin and the operations by Rex.
It's interesting because if Melbourne and Sydney is the busiest route and Bonza, I understand, chose some regional destinations that perhaps there isn't that direct link with the other airlines, why would they choose that in the first place if they know possibly that it's not going to be lucrative? And we've seen it, airlines like Compass fail in the past.
A wonderful segue to point number two, really, which is getting access to the airports in Melbourne and Sydney particularly, which is slot constrained. So to acquire additional landing slots into Sydney is very difficult, particularly peak times. And then Sydney has imposed on it as well a flow rate per hour, which limits the airport to operating even below its capability. And that's something which is constantly under discussion. And people who are worried about airport and aircraft noise, of course, don't want increased flying. But that constraint then means that Sydney Airport really struggles to grow. And to avoid that, Bonza went off to other smaller markets. But I think they had two problems then. One was some of those markets are really too small to fly profitably with 180-seat aircraft. The other is that they went to a distribution model which required you effectively to download their app on your phone to have any communication with them. I suspect I'm like a lot of people who just go straight to Google Flights, type in the two cities you want to fly between and see what comes back. And if anyone did that, you never saw a Bonza flight. So they were flying very few frequencies, for example, between Melbourne and the Gold Coast. Virgin fly it every hour of the day from Melbourne to Gold Coast. Qantas and Jetstar fly it, I think, almost as frequently. Even Rex flies Melbourne to Gold Coast. It's an airport with 250,000 domestic passengers a month, but Bonza was not getting traction there, and I think that for them was a distribution problem, that they're saying, I'll only talk to you on my app because it's easy to talk to you there, was a fundamental mistake for them.
Do you think also the fact that they've limited it to an app, does that mean also if you were searching for some of these cheaper ticket sales sites, it wouldn't come up on those either?
Exactly. If you went to, you'll have to use brand names, Webjet and other places like that, you would not find them.
That's really interesting.
They were invisible in all those places. And, I spent a chunk of my airline career in market development roles. What you want is to be in front of everybody all the time, everywhere, so that no matter how they go looking, you pop up when they do a search. And if the only place I can find you is on your app and I haven't even thought about downloading it on my phone, I never see you.
We're chatting with Ian Douglas, Honorary Senior Lecturer in Aviation at the University of New South Wales, about Bonza's failure and why budget airlines have struggled in Australia. Do you think it's possible, Ian, for a budget airline that serves these regional areas in Australia to be successful, or are we likely to continue to see repeated failures?
I think the answer is, sadly, is no. And that these markets are just so small, and the geography of Australia is so awkward from an airline perspective, that it I think is pretty well impossible. And if I had been trying to design their network, and I know one of the things that they had looked at was 70-seat turboprops, that's about the right size aircraft, and it's what Qantas flies regionally, even smaller aircraft that Rex fly that let them get into really quite small markets. There are 100-seat jets around. They're relatively expensive to fly fuel-wise. I know Alliance fly a number of them for Qantas to smaller ports in Australia. But really, really difficult. Imagine we've got a whole other industry. If you were a fast food chain like McDonald's or somebody, and we said you can only operate in towns of 10,000 people or less, these are businesses that need volume. Airlines are businesses that need volume. It's large numbers at small profit margins. Now, the average profit in the airline business is about the price of a cup of coffee per passenger.
Well,
so you really need to be able to build volume. It's $4 or $5 a passenger on average across the world is the profit margin in a good year for the airline business.
Ian, what impact will the loss of Bonza have on those regional locations, though, that they did serve?
It's going to be really sad for places that had access to jet aircraft directly on city pairs that were not flown before. But in the long term, I actually live part of the time in regional New South Wales, what you really need is reliable transport rather than more luxurious transport if it comes to the crunch.
What about frequency of services? I understand that there was only one service every so often to these potential locations. Do you reckon that had an impact as well?
Absolutely. If you didn't want to go on Tuesday, then what you discovered was you could catch Qantas link to Melbourne and then take a jet service to where you were going, or take Rex into Sydney, whatever it was. There were other options. And that example I gave you before of Virgin hourly Melbourne Gold Coast, and I think Bonza was flying it once a week.
And it's interesting because Gold Coast I would consider to be a relatively busy airport.
Yeah, it's 250,000 domestic passengers every month through that airport.
Ian, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that at some stage we get some sort of more regular service into those areas and they don't miss out on transport.
Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. That is Ian Douglas, Honorary Senior Lecturer in Aviation at the University of New South Wales.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.